Chapter 20. Harry burst into the hospital wing, panting for breath. Oddly enough, under the circumstances, hardly anyone seemed to notice. The hospital wing was chaos. Eyes darting about wildly, Harry spotted Hermione rushing towards him. He was expecting a hug. Instead, she grabbed his hand and started pulling him to another part of the room. "Harry, you've got to come help," she said, sounding desperate. Alarmed, Harry hurriedly followed her, only to realize she was leading him to Remus. "Oh no, not Remus too," he said miserably.
"He'll be fine, Mr. Potter," Madame Pomfrey said sharply. "But I understand you know a charm that will heal wounds like this more quickly."
Harry nodded, wondering if Snape would kill him when he found out that Harry was letting the others in on the spell.
"Then heal him, quickly," she ordered. "The Death Eaters seem to be using more and more spells that are slicing people open."
She added, "There are others that need healing." Considering that she obviously had other patients to attend to, Pomfrey still stood to the side and watched as Harry took up the position beside Remus. There were two large slashes across Remus's chest, reminding Harry sickeningly of when he'd sliced Draco open. Harry guided his wand along the wounds, healing both of them.
"He needs Dittany," he said quietly when he was finished.
Madame Pomfrey nodded briskly, and Harry realized she was already holding a vial.
"We will talk later, Mr. Potter. For now, please have Ms. Granger direct you to the others who could benefit from this spell tonight."
Harry worked his way around the room, healing all wounds that he could. Hermione followed, offering vials of Dittany afterwards. Harry soon realized that Madame Pomfrey was essentially working on patients ahead of them, running checks and healing all other injuries. So many injured, some people Harry didn't even recognize. But Charlie was back in a hospital bed, and Mr. Weasley had sustained a knock to the head after he'd been stunned, Harry learned. Eventually, he ended up leaning against the wall closest to George's bed. The Weasleys were all talking quietly, and Harry was a little surprised that no one was asleep. Pomfrey always drugged him to sleep when he was in the hospital wing. These were a bit different circumstances, though, he had to admit. He started when a hand squeezed his shoulder. His eyes widened marginally as he remembered that Draco had followed him to Hogwarts. Draco was in the middle of the hospital wing, where all these people wanted him dead or in Azkaban, and Draco called Harry stupid. Harry shifted closer to the body next to him anyway. Now that things had calmed down dramatically, Harry saw McGonagall making her way towards them, gathering Remus, Tonks, and Pomfrey along the way. Harry stepped forward, away from Draco, as Remus neared. He was immediately enfolded in a tight hug.
"Harry, I'm worried about you," Remus murmured softly.
"I'm not the one who got hurt," Harry retorted, his voice muffled by Remus's chest. He could feel the rumbling as Remus chuckled quietly.
"With as much blood as you have on you, you'd think you were injured, though," Remus said, pulling back and smiling gently.
Harry looked down at himself ruefully. "Yeah, a shower and a change of clothes sound like a wonderful idea."
"Not yet, Mr. Potter," McGonagall said.
Harry groaned and moved to lean back against the wall again, as Pomfrey urged Remus and Tonks to sit. He felt Draco brush against his side and felt horribly exposed, despite the fact that everyone had turned to gaze expectantly at McGonagall. Pomfrey pulled privacy screens, then McGonagall cast silencing charms around their area, making Harry extremely nervous about the fact that Draco was there. He had to consciously remind himself that two of the most important things Draco didn't know concerned Snape and the Horcruxes. McGonagall didn't know about them either, though, so she certainly wouldn't be bringing them up. His worries were pushed aside as McGonagall solemnly told them of the deaths. Several people had died, and few of the names were ones that Harry recognized. He closed his eyes, leaning his head back against the wall as he took in the news. Hearing about people dying was, unfortunately, something he was becoming accustomed to.
He felt more guilt because he had been there this time and hadn't been able to help. He was the one who had called those people there. He also felt guilty because he was glad it wasn't anyone he was close to.
Harry!
He opened his eyes wearily, simply to see everyone staring at him.
It isn't your fault, Harry, Hermione snapped, even through her tears, and while she was clutching at Ron.
I didn't say it was, Harry said quietly.
But you're thinking it, mate, Ron said. Even I can see it.
Harry quirked a half smile. Hermione been giving you lessons on observation? He asked. The group laughed a little through their tears.
No, I just know you, Ron retorted, grinning a little.
Mr. Potter, your friends are correct, McGonagall said. I have gathered this group here to give you this bad news personally, but also to tell you that your efforts have saved the town of Hogsmeade and the people who live there.
I didn't do it, Harry protested. I didn't even fight, he said bitterly. I can't afford to fight yet.
McGonagall held her hand up to silence the others who began to protest. Potter, I am aware that this was a group effort, she began. I am also aware that you did more than not fight. However, I do have many questions regarding your activities tonight.
Harry looked at her guardedly. I'm likely not going to answer them, he said warily.
Yes, I am aware of that as well, McGonagall said dryly. Perhaps you could begin by explaining the spell you used to save two lives and heal many others tonight, she suggested.
Harry glanced from Tonks to Remus to George, then noticed Bill smiling.
Yeah, Harry, Bill said in amusement. Do tell us.
Harry smirked at him. You're just tired of trying to make up excuses, he retorted. Mrs. Weasley looked from Harry to Bill in astonishment, then back to Harry.
You healed Bill? She questioned.
Harry nodded reluctantly. She looked ready to jump up and smother Harry with hugs, but Mr. Weasley put a staying hand on her shoulder.
Why didn't you tell us, Harry? Hermione asked, frowning at him.
Harry sighed. Because I didn't know if it would work at first, and then I didn't want or need all the attention, he explained. Also because I learned the spell from that book, and because I didn't feel like listening to you harp on me about it again.
Hermione glared at him. You tried using another spell from that book?
Yes, and it worked, Harry snapped, sweeping his hand around to indicate half the people he'd healed.
It could be a dark art spell, Hermione went on, unrelenting, despite the obvious good.
Harry shrugged. I think it's borderline, he admitted.
How could you even learn such a spell? Remus asked, his eyes narrowed. Such a powerful spell learned only by reading about it?
Harry kept his gaze steady. I learned a far worse spell simply by reading the name of it, he said evenly.
That's right, Ron piped up. That one you both killed Malfoy with a few months ago.
Harry winced as chaos erupted. He felt Draco's hand brush along his arm, rubbing reassuringly. It felt reassuring anyway, and Harry was thankful he wasn't getting poked or something. Hopefully Draco wasn't taking offense by all this.
Enough! McGonagall said sharply. Everyone quieted down almost instantly. Mr. Potter, I believe you have some explaining to do.
Harry faced her with a hard expression.
I had read about a spell in Snape's book, a note in the margins. All I knew was the name of the spell and that it was for enemies. I caught Malfoy by surprise and ended up in a duel with him. I used the spell. I spilt Malfoy's blood, he said bluntly. Snape used a spell to heal Malfoy. I recently found the spell Snape used and learned it. It's proved quite useful.
McGonagall pursed her lips, and Harry was sure she wanted to question him further before punishing him severely. He was surprised when she spoke again.
I believe it best that we keep the nature of this spell amongst ourselves. But Potter, You will need to instruct Poppy, in particular, about how to perform it," McGonagall said firmly. Harry nodded. "It has indeed proved quite useful, and we are in difficult times," McGonagall continued. "I have many questions, but overwhelming the questions is my feeling of pride in all you've accomplished tonight." Harry shifted uncomfortably, and McGonagall smiled. "I know you do not wish for the recognition, but I am astonished that you were able to set things in motion so quickly. Your handling of Scrimgeour was impressive. You brought the help here that we needed." She paused and narrowed her eyes at him suddenly. "Mr. Potter, I've spoken with many people tonight, and several of them have commented that the Death Eaters often appeared to have trouble with their wand hand. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you?" Harry cocked his head and smiled innocently, a smile that fooled nobody present. "I did nothing to them," he answered, truthfully. "You will not tell us," McGonagall corrected dryly. "Not at the moment," Harry agreed. He probably would have, but Draco had the snake, and there was no way of retrieving it in front of everyone. "Is there anything you are willing to tell us?" she asked. Harry frowned thoughtfully. "No, I don't think so," he said slowly. "You are as secretive as Albus," McGonagall tutted. Harry grinned. "Thank you," he said smugly. "I'm honored." The group laughed, but most of them were still eyeing Harry questioningly, and a few with open suspicion. Hermione and Remus in particular were definitely suspicious. "So, if we're through with grilling me for information, can you tell us about the Death Eaters now?" Harry asked. "Several were captured tonight," McGonagall informed them. "But again, I do not believe we have captured any of the higher-ranked followers." "What about Snape and Malfoy?" Ron burst out angrily. McGonagall shook her head sadly. "I have heard several reports that they witnessed Snape at the battle, but he was not captured." Harry wasn't sure if she was sad because Snape was there fighting on the wrong side, or because Snape hadn't been captured. Harry tried to keep his face expressionless, simply following the conversation. "What about Malfoy?" Charlie spat. "That little bastard get away again?" "I haven't heard any reports of anyone seeing him tonight," McGonagall said. "Perhaps Malfoy has just gotten better at hiding since last time," Fred suggested, grinning at Charlie. "Of course, you ended up in the hospital wing again anyway," George added, also grinning widely at his older brother. Harry ducked his head, trying to keep a straight face, unable to believe the twins were actually joking about the whole situation. The hand that had been brushing against his arm had stilled, and Harry pressed against the body next to him. "Shut it, you two," Charlie grumbled, but he was smiling. "It's not like I'm the only one in here." "I dearly wish you would all stop torturing me and stay out of the hospital wing in the future," Mrs. Weasley said sternly. Harry was smiling along with the others at this point, when he noticed that he had Remus's attention on him. Remus was frowning thoughtfully. Harry raised his brows in question, but Remus just shook his head slightly. "I think it is time for my patients to rest," Pomfrey declared. "The rest of you should go home and rest as well." She looked at Harry. "I expect you back here tomorrow." Harry hesitated for a moment, but couldn't see any easy way out of it. "I'll be here," he said in resignation. "But I'm sleeping first," he added. She smiled and nodded in acceptance. "Then I think you will come have a nice little talk with me afterwards," McGonagall said. "Perhaps 4 o'clock? She suggested. Harry groaned. He really did hate talks. They were always stressful in one way or another, and he was sure Draco was laughing underneath the cloak. "I'll be there," he grumbled. "We will talk now, Harry," Remus said mildly, but with a note of command. "Remus, it's late," Harry protested. "It's very late," Remus agreed. "You will spare me a few moments, nonetheless." Hermione looked disappointed that Remus was stealing him away.
"Tomorrow, Harry," she said. "I'm already being chewed out and questioned enough tomorrow," Harry said sarcastically. "I'll see you Tuesday."
"But Harry," Hermione protested.
"No," Harry said firmly. "I plan on sleeping, and then I have things to do."
"Then I'll be here tomorrow, so you can teach me that spell too," Hermione said determinedly.
"Me too," Ginny piped up. "I reckon that means I'll be here," Ron muttered.
"We're coming as well," Fred added cheerfully. "Always did learn a lot in Harry's lessons," George agreed.
Harry rolled his eyes. "Fine, I'll see everyone here around 3 o'clock tomorrow then," he said, giving in.
"Splendid," McGonagall said. "Rest well, Harry," she said, smiling pleasantly.
Harry scowled at her and Hermione, knowing that he was likely to be grilled mercilessly the next day.
"Come, Harry," Remus said.
Sighing heavily, Harry followed Remus from the hospital wing. He paused with the door open and glanced back at everyone. He'd only intended to pause long enough to let Draco through, but he hesitated longer as he looked around the hospital wing. There were still a lot of people there, some injured and some just visiting. Almost all of them had helped fight to protect Hogsmeade.
"There were more people taken to St. Mungo's," Remus said quietly. "A lot of people willing to fight."
He looked at Harry directly. "All of them came based on you calling them."
Harry sighed and finally shut the door and began walking with Remus.
"You feel responsible for them," Remus stated.
"A little," Harry said. "It's hard not to."
Remus hummed in response. He lapsed into silence for several minutes as they wandered further away from the hospital wing. Exhaustion was setting in for Harry, and he wasn't paying much attention to where they were going, just letting his feet carry him along. It wasn't until he felt a strong grip on his arm that he realized they were heading up towards the astronomy tower. Harry stopped in the middle of the corridor.
"Remus, where are we going?" he asked in alarm.
Inexplicably, Remus smiled. "I wondered if there might be a problem heading up this direction," he said.
"Of course there's a problem," Harry snapped. "You know what happened up there."
"Perhaps I do," Remus said, nodding. Harry frowned at Remus's tone. He couldn't figure out what Remus was getting at.
"Come, we're near the Room of Requirement," Remus said. "It has been a long night, and I could use a rest."
Harry looked at him in concern. "I'm surprised you were let out of the hospital wing," he said in realization.
Remus smiled.
"Luckily for me, Poppy had many distractions tonight," he said. Harry couldn't help but smile in return. They changed direction slightly and made for the Room of Requirement.
"I need a comfortable place to talk with Remus. I need a comfortable place to talk with Remus. I need a comfortable place to talk with Remus."
The door appeared and Remus stepped forward to open it, leading the way inside.
"Very nice, Harry," Remus said appreciatively.
Harry felt Draco brush past him and stepped inside himself, glancing around the room. It looked like a comfortable common room, only without all the blatant house colors. It was far more muted and cozy, with comfortable chairs and couches surrounding a large fireplace. Remus sat down wearily in one of the armchairs and gestured for Harry to sit as well. Harry sank onto a couch and instantly decided he didn't want to move again. He laid his head back and moaned softly in relief.
"Comfortable?" Remus asked in amusement.
"I'm tired, Remus," Harry said, pouting a little, eyes still closed. "It's been an incredibly long day. It's the middle of the night. This is comfortable and I could fall asleep right here," he added.
"Perhaps your guest would appreciate an opportunity to sit down and rest as well," Remus said mildly.
Harry's eyes flew open and he jerked his head up to stare at Remus.
"You're my guest here," he said slowly.
Remus nodded once in acknowledgement.
"I'm not the only one, however," he said.
"Remus,
"Why did you want to talk to me?" Harry asked, his voice growing hard. Remus simply couldn't know Draco was there, could he?
"As I said earlier, I am worried about you," Remus said, gazing at Harry in concern. "Also, I wish you to know that whatever you need from me, you have my support."
Harry looked at the man warily. They hadn't been able to spend a whole lot of time together, but Remus was the closest person Harry could claim as family. He could claim the Dursleys, but even with Petunia's slightly changed attitude, they did not evoke nearly the same emotions.
Remus smiled again. "I think, perhaps, you should have written the essay on werewolves that you were assigned," he said.
Harry frowned in confusion.
"The full moon is in a week," Remus said mildly. "If you had ever written that essay, you would know that a werewolf has a heightened sense of smell, especially as the full moon nears."
Harry's eyes widened as it sunk in what Remus was implying. He could actually smell Draco in the room with them.
"I do believe there is someone else here who should have written that essay as well," Remus said.
"What are you trying to say, Remus?" Harry asked sharply. "If he really did know about Draco, they could be in serious trouble."
"I am completely unaware of how this situation could have come about," Remus admitted, frowning. "But I am here to help in any way that I can, if you will let me."
Harry lowered his head and tried to think. Could Remus be trusted? He wasn't as remotely as excitable as Ron. As a marauder, he wasn't as much of a stickler of the rules as Hermione. He had told Draco that he would not betray him, though.
Harry looked back at Remus steadily. "I'm sorry, Remus, but I can't tell you anything," he said. "Remus may suspect, but he had no proof."
Remus nodded in acceptance, but he looked disappointed.
"I don't mean to disappoint you," Harry said miserably.
"No, Harry," Remus said, smiling sadly. "You could never disappoint me. I am incredibly proud of you and all that you are doing. I am only disappointed in myself that I am unable to help you more."
"But you have been," Harry protested.
"I believe you have taken on tasks that no others have been willing to take on," Remus said. "Where you are finding the strength to do so, I have no idea."
Remus's choice of words made Harry smile. Remus looked at him questioningly.
Harry shook his head, still smiling.
There was a rustle of fabric and Draco suddenly appeared, tense and watching Remus warily.
Remus had obviously known, but he still looked surprised to see Draco.
"Draco," Harry hissed, "what are you doing?"
"He already knows I'm here," Draco snapped.
"He only suspected, you twit," Harry retorted irritably. "He never even mentioned you by name."
Draco rolled his eyes impatiently.
"No, but we all know who you were talking about."
"Well, yes," Harry admitted, "but you didn't have to show yourself."
"I don't think he'll say anything," Draco said.
Harry blinked. "Are you trying to convince me?" he asked in astonishment.
"If he knows and is willing to help, then maybe he'll help you with all the blasted questioning you're going to be going through tomorrow,"
Draco snapped. That made Harry pause, and he looked back to Remus, who was watching them both in amazement.
"Yes, well, do sit down, Mr. Malfoy," Remus said dazedly.
Draco dropped down on the couch next to Harry, causing Remus's brows to rise.
"You didn't really believe he was here, did you?" Harry asked Remus.
Remus looked between the two boys sitting on the couch together.
"I was fairly sure he was here, but I'm not sure I actually believe it, even now," he admitted.
"Remus, you can't tell anyone," Harry said pleadingly.
"Do you even know what you are doing, Harry?" Remus questioned.
Harry laughed harshly. "Hell no," he exclaimed. "I can trust Draco, though."
"Draco?" Remus questioned in disbelief, registering the use of Draco's given name this time. "How in the name of Merlin did you two ever get to a first-name basis?"
Harry glanced at Draco,
who was now smirking. Harry smacked his thigh in warning. "Don't start," he said.
"Didn't say a word," Draco said, still smirking.
Harry's eyes narrowed suspiciously, but he turned back to Remus.
I kind of told him he might as well call me by my first name when he moved in with me, he admitted.
"He's living with you," Remus exclaimed, eyebrows rising to his hairline.
"At the Dursleys?"
Yes, Harry admitted nervously. Remus opened his mouth to speak, but then couldn't seem to close his mouth again, no words coming forth.
"Remus?" Harry called worriedly.
Remus closed his mouth, then his eyes. Harry glanced at Draco, not sure what to do about the situation. He pulled his wand and, after a quick glance at Remus, he cast a silencing charm around him and Draco. Draco sighed heavily. "We're not going to get away without answering questions, are we?" he asked Harry. Harry shook his head.
"I don't think so," he answered, sounding apologetic.
"Maybe you should tell him," he suggested. "I don't know how much you want me to say."
"Does it matter to you?" Draco asked, frowning.
Harry shrugged. "I already trust Remus. It's up to you how much you feel comfortable telling him. I know this means you wouldn't tell him anything if you had the choice, but..."
He trailed off, shrugging again helplessly.
Draco rubbed at his eyes. "I can't believe I'm contemplating telling the wolf anything," he muttered.
"You wouldn't have had to tell him anything if you'd kept the cloak on," Harry said irritably.
"But you need him on your side," Draco snapped, glaring at Harry.
"I was handling it," Harry protested.
"But you shouldn't have to handle it all by yourself," Draco retorted. "I'm not telling him for my sake, you prat."
"I didn't ask for you to risk your safety," Harry said, eyes glinting dangerously.
"No, you just ordered me to walk into the middle of a battle with you," Draco said sarcastically. Harry jerked back as if he'd been hit, and Draco's eyes widened.
"Harry," Draco said pleadingly.
"No, you're right," Harry said stiffly. "I've said I would try to keep you safe, and then I turn around and order you to walk into a battle, where you're now wanted by both sides." "I'm not some damn self-sacrificing Gryffindor, but I am trying to help," Draco snapped. "I know we're in the middle of a fucking war. I also know that you are literally at the center of it all. I'm not walking into this blind, but this is still difficult." He took a deep breath. "We both know Lupin isn't one of my favorite people, but we also both know that he is one of yours. He'd already learned I was here. That was my mistake," Draco admitted. "At this point, it makes sense to take advantage of him knowing. He could help provide some much-needed support for you."
"The Slytherin thing to do," Harry said slowly. "Take advantage of the situation, whatever it may be."
Draco nodded in agreement. "I know it's a bit of a risk, but he sounded accepting," he said, grimacing a little. "Far less risky to tell Lupin the truth when he suspects anyway, than it would be to tell the weasel." Harry glared at him, and Draco rolled his eyes. "I'm only willing to go so far, Harry," he stated haughtily.
Harry nodded reluctantly in agreement. "You've gone further than I ever would have expected from you," he admitted.
"Sacrifices are often made in wars," Draco said dryly.
"You're making a lot of sacrifices," Harry agreed.
"I'm not the only one making sacrifices," Draco said seriously. "You've made a lot of sacrifices for me and my family. I'm trying to do the same, but it's not easy."
Harry smiled warmly. "I appreciate it."
Draco glanced at Remus, who was watching them both with interest.
"So, are you wanting to tell him about us?" Draco asked. "I reckon I should, if you're willing," Harry said. "I'm not sure how he'll take the shock, though," he added nervously.
"Then let's find out," Draco said, his eyes glinting mischievously. Harry wasn't given a chance to ask how before Draco had leaned closer to kiss him. Harry sighed into the kiss,
not really caring about Remus for a few moments. Draco felt warm and comforting pressed up against him, the kiss actually helping to relax him and soothe his ragged nerves. Draco pulled back, and his lips quirked into a half-smile. Harry realized the kiss must have done the same for Draco, because he looked a lot less tense now as well. Harry finally broke the silencing charm, and they turned to face Remus again. Harry felt bad for Remus, who was staring at them, more gobsmacked than he had been at any other moment during the night. "I understand the desire for popcorn now," Draco drawled in amusement. Harry sniggered, darting a glance at Draco, before focusing on Remus again. "That probably wasn't the best way to tell you," he said apologetically. "But Draco and I are kind of together."
"How?" Remus asked, the shock ringing in his voice.
Draco abruptly reached for the cloak he'd laid beside him on the couch and started digging in the pockets. He retrieved 3 vials and handed one to Harry and passed one to Remus. "Pepper-up potion," he said. "We're all exhausted, but I think we're still going to be here for a while," he admitted. Remus followed Harry's lead and downed the contents of the vial. All of them feeling much more alert, Draco began to explain exactly what had been happening since he'd shown up with Victoria at the Dursleys. Harry helped fill in the parts about Scrimjaw, Winky, and the twins. Draco explained about his mother and their desertion of the Dark Lord. Remus listened intently to all of it, rarely interrupting, only asking a question now and then for clarification. When they wound down their tale, Remus sat back and gazed at them both in amazement. "I am astonished at what you two have been able to overcome to reach this point," he said. Harry and Draco both shrugged. "Draco, would you mind if I have a private word with Harry?" Remus asked. Draco looked surprised to be asked, but gestured for them to go ahead. Harry moved closer to Remus and cast a quick silencing charm.
"You're quite good at those," Remus said.
"Lots of practice," Harry said ruefully.
Remus sobered. "Harry, I wish to know if you are in contact with Severus as well," he said. Harry's eyes narrowed.
"Why would I be in contact with Snape?" he said sharply.
"Why would you be in contact with Draco?" Remus returned.
"You heard us tell you about Victoria," Harry retorted.
Remus waved his hand dismissively.
"You've overcome a lot of anger," he said. "You are not the same as you were. I watched you in the hospital wing tonight. While Ron and the others were still filled with anger, you barely reacted to the mention of either Snape or Malfoy. If you've been able to reach amicable relations with Draco, then perhaps you've been able to reach some kind of truce with Severus as well."
"Snape hates me, Remus," Harry retorted. "In case you don't remember," he added sarcastically.
"Snape hates everyone," Remus said dryly. "That tells me nothing about whether you've reached a truce with him."
Harry sniggered quietly. "Draco's still been making regular declarations of hatred," he admitted.
"And look where you two are," Remus said.
A shudder passed through Harry's body. "I'm not sleeping with Snape," he said firmly.
Remus chuckled.
"I would think Draco is enough for you to handle in that regard," he said.
"Definitely," Harry said, with feeling.
His brow creased as his thoughts shifted back to Snape, and he debated whether to tell Remus or not. Remus leaned forward, looking like he wanted to reach for Harry, but he didn't.
"Harry," he said, sounding horribly sad. "I made a huge mistake once, believing the worst of someone I knew to be trustworthy. I convicted them, along with everyone else, and I don't intend to do that again if I can help it."
Harry's eyes widened as he realized what Remus was saying.
"You couldn't have known," Harry said. His thoughts turned dark. "It was Pettigrew's fault," he said angrily. "You had a good reason not to trust."
Remus shook his head sadly. "Maybe," he said, clearly not believing it. "Peter was weak. I knew that. I didn't believe him capable of betraying you and your parents, but I knew he was weak," he repeated.
Sirius, on the other hand, was strong. He was always strong, he said, sounding sad and distant. I knew that, but was still quick to believe the worst. The situation was bad, though, Harry admitted. It didn't look good for Sirius. It doesn't look good for Severus now, Remus said quietly. No, it didn't, Harry admitted silently, his thoughts churning with what Remus was saying. His emotions were twisting and turning in his gut. Severus is just as strong as Sirius, Remus went on. In fact, I think Severus is much stronger in many ways. I refuse to simply convict Severus with the evidence at hand, no matter how damning. If he has switched loyalties, then I will mourn the loss, but I will not believe it without further proof. He did kill Dumbledore, Harry said, recognizing that he was playing devil's advocate. Most people consider that enough evidence. Sirius didn't actually kill anyone, even though everyone thought he had. But why did he kill Dumbledore? Remus asked softly. What else is there that I do not know? We are living in extreme times. Harry nodded slowly. They were certainly living in extreme times, and lots of things were happening that shouldn't be. Remus sighed heavily. I know you are keeping many secrets, Harry. I can only hope that a truce with Severus is one of them. Harry met Remus's gaze, staring intently. You will keep my secrets and not question my actions? He asked. Remus smiled in reassurance, glancing at Draco, who was watching them both closely. Yes, Harry. I will keep your secrets. I understand how important your secrets are. I also recognize that not everyone would understand your actions, but I can see what an impact you are making. He met Harry's gaze again. I cannot promise never to question, but I will promise not to interfere with your decisions. Harry took a deep breath. You know he'll kill me for telling anyone, don't you? He asked. Remus chuckled, clearly happy with Harry's question. He will not kill you. He may decide to flay you within an inch of your life, however. He said. That's encouraging, Harry said sarcastically. Remus sighed in relief. Severus warned you tonight, didn't he? He questioned. Yeah, Harry admitted. But you can't say anything, Remus. No one knows except me. And now you. Draco doesn't even know. Severus doesn't know about the Malfoys? Remus asked curiously, brow furrowed. Harry shook his head. No, but he's worried as hell about them. Not that he'll admit that to me. I haven't told him because I'm not sure how he'll react, he admitted. I don't technically have any proof that the Malfoys have switched sides. Remus looked pained. Harry, I must admit that I have my own concerns. But if anyone can help you with this, it would be Remus, he said. Harry shrugged. I know I'm going to have to tell him. The sooner I tell them all, the sooner we can all get moved into Grimmauld Place. You can access Grimmauld Place? Remus asked in astonishment. Yeah, Dumbledore set it up for me and Snape, Harry said carelessly. I'm working on making it livable so I can get the Malfoys and me moved in there. Remus rubbed a hand down the side of his face, trying to process everything Harry was telling him. Harry looked at him in sympathy. I think I've probably given you enough shocks tonight, he said quietly. You should go back to the hospital wing and get some rest. Remus chuckled quietly. And just who is the adult here? He asked. Harry gave him a cheeky grin. Pomfrey would say it wasn't you, because you can't even learn to stay in bed where you belong, he said. Remus laughed and nodded in agreement. I do believe we all need to get some rest, he admitted. Harry broke the silencing charm and looked over to Draco. You okay? He asked quietly. Draco shrugged. Fine, he said warily. In desperate need of a shower, though, and sleep for 24 hours would be nice. Harry nodded in agreement. He wanted to be clean and in bed sleeping. He just didn't want to go through the effort of getting there. He also wondered if he should be checking in at Grimmauld Place first. Winky? He called, glancing warily at Remus. Remus didn't comment, though. He only looked on curiously. Winky popped into the room, looking anxious and wringing her hands.
"Yes, Master Harry?" she said.
Harry frowned, sidetracked by her appearance.
"Are you all right?" he asked.
She looked to both Remus and Draco before looking back at Harry with large, questioning eyes. Harry's frown deepened, and, with a quick glance at the others, he cast yet another silencing charm, around him and Winky this time.
"What is it, Winky?" he asked. "Are Narcissa and Victoria all right?"
Winky nodded.
"Worried, but fine. Winky was called to the house by Master Snape."
Harry's eyes widened in alarm.
"Is he all right?" he asked.
Winky's eyes filled with tears as she shook her head.
"Winky was not to inform you."
"He's not your master. I am," Harry said sharply, willing to enforce that under the circumstances. "What's wrong with him?"
"Master Snape had me bringing supplies for healing," Winky said tearfully. "Not well at all."
"Fuck," Harry exclaimed. "Go back there and watch over him," he ordered Winky. "I'll be there as soon as I can." He broke the silencing charm and was already on his feet.
"Harry, what's wrong?" Draco asked in alarm.
"Mother? Victoria?"
"They're fine," Harry said hurriedly. "Go back and reassure your mom that you're all right, though."
"Where are you going?" Draco asked. "I've got to go," Harry said in answer, heading for the door.
"Harry," Remus called.
Harry glanced at Remus's questioning, worried gaze, and nodded once. Remus inhaled sharply.
"Go,"
he ordered. When Harry had paused, it had given Draco a chance to catch up to him. Draco kissed him quickly.
"Stay safe," he murmured.
Harry smiled slightly and hoped it was reassuring.
"I'll be back at the house as soon as I can," he said, before he opened the door and took off running.